Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Vikram Balasubramanian, who will from MercuryGate. He's the Senior VP of Strategic Product Development there. And today we're going to talk about leveraging optimization to unlock value from your transportation network. Now, optimization is this, you know, word and term that gets used a lot in transportation management. And certainly it's a key functional capability in TMS solutions. But the reality is that a lot of companies either aren't leveraging it to its full potential or aren't even leveraging it at all. And, you know, why is that? You know, and that's part of the question that we're going to answer, you know, today in terms, and as well as, you know, understanding how those companies that are leveraging it, you know, how are they deriving value from the use of optimization? And Vikram's got a wealth of experience in this area, and certainly it's a pleasure to have him on the program. You know, before we get started, just want to remind those of you that are joining us today that, you know, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question or a comment for Vikram as well having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And you know, if it's a good and appropriate question, and we've got time, we'll certainly try to weave it into the conversation. If you are joining us as a visitor, you will have to sign in first before you're able to ask a question. So with that, Vikram, welcome to the program.
Hey, Adrian. Good morning. Pleasure to be here and looking forward to this conversation.
Great. Well, you know, Vikram, whenever, you know, before we dive into the topic, you know, whenever I have a new guest on the program, I always like to, you know, understand kind of how they even got into this industry, right? So, so as a way to get started, you know, can you tell us briefly a little bit about your career path? You know, how and why did you get involved in supply chain logistics, and what are your current role? What's your current role and responsibilities there at MercuryGate?
Sure. So, to your question, how and why did I start in supply chain and logistics? I would say it's sheer accident, but I'm glad that I did. I started my career with I2 Technologies, now of course it is JDA. I've been in the supply chain space for about 18 to 19 years now, focused on supply chain, logistics, planning, optimization, and execution. Over the course of my career, I've played various roles in consulting, product management, and in pre-sales in many software organizations. I've had the opportunity to work with various companies like Dell, PepsiCo, IBM, Philips, Intel, Cisco, Staples, Home Depot, looking at their supply chain operations to identify opportunities to improve productivity and efficiency, of course, and working with them to deliver on supply chain initiatives. In Pepsi, for instance, I worked for Pepsi for a while at Frito-Lay, which is their snack division. Frito-Lay has one of the largest private fleets that they own, and they have a very unique direct-to-store delivery model. I was involved with their initiative for a long time, focused on optimizing their distribution network right from their factory plants to the distribution center and to the stores. Similar experiences with other organizations, both on inbound and outbound supply chain. I've always been at the cross-section, and that is my area of interest, what I would like to continue to do so, cross-section of technology and supply chain process orchestration, looking at how technology basically redefines the landscape, how companies are able to re-engineer their business processes to leverage technology and use that, meaning supply chain and logistics, as a differentiator in the market that they are competing. At MercuryGate, I'm in charge of go-to-market strategy and product strategy, our technology partnerships, and essentially enabling our business operations to scale as we grow in North America and internationally. So it's interesting times and exciting times.
Yeah, no, great, great background there. Certainly, you know, rich history there, both on the technology side as well as with some, you know, some leading brands there, some of the companies that really are innovative from a supply chain logistics standpoint. And I agree. I mean, I think where a lot of the interesting work is these days and developments taking place is really at that intersection of technology and business process reengineering or innovation and how the two, you know, kind of reinforce each other. So let's get into the topic now, you know, of optimization. And, you know, I've certainly done, over the past 17 years, I've done a lot of research on the TMS market, both from a technology standpoint, as well as, you know, talking to end users. And you know, obviously a lot of other analyst firms have done the same. And it's well documented that, you know, a lot of the potential, you know, savings that TMS can provide is really provider derived from optimization. But yet a lot of companies still don't leverage the optimization capabilities of their TMS. So be interested in your perspective. I mean, why is that? And, you know, what have been some of the barriers to implementation?
Sure. So in the supply chain industry, as you know, optimization mathematical models have been used for a while, be it in material and capacity planning for tactical operations, as well as strategic sourcing. Inventory optimization to decide your stocking points, service level, and of course in optimization of your transportation network. Within transportation especially, we are slowly seeing increasing adoption of optimization, both within the shipper community as well as the 3PL community. This is indeed a healthy sign, as the promise is real and a lot of value can be generated by taking costs from the network. But let's first talk about the barriers itself, right? Firstly, getting execution right before you optimize makes it a long journey. And the sequence, right, and by the way, rightly so, I agree with it, is first people invest in execution systems that helps automate these processes before you figure out how to optimize it and make it better. So therefore, optimization usually takes, it's usually a second leg in the journey, and many times gets left out in the buzz of day-to-day activity. So reason one is they never got to it in the first place. Secondly is many shippers have traditionally been reluctant to invest in optimization, probably discouraged by the cost and believing that they can do it themselves manually, depending on the size and whether they believe that they can have leverage or that they believe there is a real advantage. It is true that with traditional on-premise, I would say monolithic software, there is a lot of upfront investment that needs to be made, and companies have traditionally shied away from doing it. Some of them have also are of the opinion that they are not big enough to require optimization. This is not really true. I just don't agree with it, because once you expand your analysis to inbound optimization, and in case of retailers, you add in returns and all activities that you do, things do become complicated. Plus, of course, the problem with manual effort, you have to be smart about it all the time, and you have to do it all the time, right? This is not just a one-time thing, right? And in the buzz of your day-to-day activities, trying to optimize things becomes the last thing. Just getting it done becomes the priority, right? And so you never lose touch with what you could have done as an optimizer. I would say last, but not the least, tied to the cost, real-life data that reflects reality, and getting the right data itself is a huge issue. The quality of the solution is largely dependent on the quality of your input. And if it's a daunting task to secure appropriate data, right, that itself is a huge challenge to come out. So we're talking about what are your operating lanes, what is your rate by weight or volume, the rates and the tariffs could be a complex structure by itself. Then we also have to get your accessorial charges, fixed costs, fuel charges, and however, with cloud-based systems like Mercury Gate and others, we have now web services integration, and it is now possible to get accurate and current rating information and contract information, which can be leveraged as key inputs to your optimization. So these have been the barriers, but I do see that a lot of technological advancements and these things have really helped to overcome these barriers. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think those three things, you know, factors that you brought up, I certainly see as well. You know, certainly with a lot of TMS implementations, a lot of it begins with kind of addressing the execution pieces, right? You know, getting away from all that manual repetitive tasks and trying to automate that. And there's a lot of low hanging fruit opportunities there. And then ultimately, you know, that second phase, which is always optimization for one reason or another, doesn't get implemented, or, you know, keeps getting pushed out. I mean, another reason I see it, I'm just kind of curious if you see it as well, is, you know, perhaps a perception, in many cases real, in other cases not real, that, you know, optimization, that in order to do optimization, you have to have almost like a PhD experts internally to really know how to configure the optimizer and how to, you know, use it to its full potential. And it's not that trivial to set up an optimizer and keep it in tune and all this and that. I mean, do you see that as historically kind of a barrier in terms of perhaps some perception that, you know, they may not have the internal expertise or talent to leverage an optimizer? And has technology responded in any way to address that?
Yeah, I do see that. So if you just take the large shippers versus the small shippers itself, right? So large shippers tend to have centralized transportation departments. They have specific people who are analysts focused on optimization, and that's their day job, right? And it's more apparent, the value of consolidation across customers, across business units, is more apparent to them. We usually see more adoption in the larger size segment. The next evolution for these adopters is tying transportation planning to their SNOP process to be forward-looking and leveraging volume predictions to negotiate and drive down costs. Mid-size shippers, on the other hand, have leaner shipping departments. They're often focused on moving products with little time and energy to analyze freight spend and leave alone trying to optimize the network itself. But to your point about requiring a PhD, right? I think number one, a lot of the hesitation is about, is this value add for me if I'm a small shipper? And the number two is, once I have this type of capability, am I going to be able to have the resources and the smart analysts to actually go and leverage this and reap benefits out of this? So I think so the answer is I would say yes and no to the second extent, that it's not like you have to have all these capabilities within your organization. There are a lot of vendors who provide these managed services, which you can leverage to basically say, hey, it could be boutique consultants, or it could be these software vendors who provide managed services for optimization, which you can leverage. And till you develop your competency, it doesn't have to be that you depend on them forever, but till you depend on their on your own competency, you can leverage these managed services and not just pure software.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I see that trend as well in terms of, you know, certainly it's one of the trends that I've been talking about for a long time in terms of the coming together of technology with managed services and consulting as well. And I think that's a key area here that plays as well. Now you mentioned, and I see this as well, that, and you already talked a little bit about this, but I'd see if you could maybe expand a little bit more about it, that the tide is starting to turn, right? So you are seeing more and more companies looking to implement, you know, optimization or, you know, trying to extract even more value from the solutions that they have in place in that area. What's driving that increased adoption? And I mean, do you see any differences between large and small shippers?
As I said, large shippers, it's a lot more apparent, but we are seeing a healthy trend with our customer base and prospects. Large shippers as well as the medium and small ones, with an increased interest in optimization and not purely just execution. I would say the main reason is the level of adoption of transportation system has increased considerably, and people are moving away from Excel spreadsheets, moving to more sophisticated TMS. I still think there is a huge opportunity purely in just execution, but with the increase in adoption of execution, this sets the stage for companies to start looking at optimization, given that they have some degree of execution systems in place, right? So going back to the first barrier that we talked about, people are at a point where they are done with the first part of the journey. They are ready for the next leg. Secondly, companies like MercuryGate, we provide next generation cloud-based solution. The cost of barriers to entry are increasingly becoming eliminated. When you leverage cloud-based logistics network to reduce onboarding and integration with the transportation partners, the ROI numbers make it a lot more attractive. It reduces your upfront investment and risk. It is not just carriers, right? You're talking about integrating not just data. It is not just EDI or XML, but integrating your processes with suppliers, You have freight forwarders, 3PLs, banks for your financial network, and managing transportation by nature is a multi-enterprise process that goes beyond the walls of your enterprise. Right? The cloud-based platform inherently has the ability to bring together these participants in a single platform, unlike traditional on-premise software, which by definition requires you to have point-to-point connection. So basically, the emergence of the business network, and it is just not, as I said, about just integration, but intermingling of these processes, right, to do this process orchestration. This has really enabled this to be a lot more proactive and with less upfront investment. A network of already connected and ready-to-go transportation partners makes the value prop really attractive, the way things have evolved. I would say, obviously, with web services capability and in-memory technologies, fast computing power, it's also now feasible to run live optimization, I would say, on demand for a subset of loads as things change in real time. It makes it applicable more within your execution scenario, more reactive to supply chain disruptions which are happening in real time, more applicable to the smaller segments and lower volumes, right? And so makes this accessible and relevant to the smaller and mid-sized segments. So I wouldn't say it's at a huge inflection point. I wouldn't say it's a huge wave, but I do see increasing signs of people interested and understanding and recognizing the value. And we are excited because there is a lot of opportunity and efficiency that can be gained with smarter decisions.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, particularly the point about, you know, cloud computing and connectivity, I mean, and the role that that's playing. I think for, you know, I've been saying for a long time, a lot of companies, when they think about cloud or they think about software as a service, they purely think of it simply as a deployment and pricing model, right? Well, I can either put it in house and pay a license fee, or I can pay in installments and have it hosted somewhere else. Not realizing that there are actually inherent and unique value propositions to the cloud software as a service model that goes beyond just the way you pay for it and the way and whose server it's residing on, right? It does have a play on in terms of being able to grab that data, integrate the processes, not just the not just the technology, if you will, and all those reasons that you said. So I certainly see that as kind of contributing factors as well. Can you give some examples of customer examples or use cases of how companies are leveraging optimization to reduce costs and maximize the productivity of the transportation operations?
Sure. Optimization, as you say, the use of optimization is really wide, just purely within transportation. Of course, if you take supply chain overall, it's a lot more. But let's just focus on within your transportation network. So optimization can be deployed in a wide range of scenarios across sales. Let's say if you're a 3PL. On the execution side, to create or consolidate loads from shipments ready to be fulfilled. On the planning process, when you are identifying capacity requirements, during procurement processes to make sourcing decisions, and last but not the least, strategic network design, which is something that people always talk about in terms of optimization, and trying to make decisions on transportation network itself, such as can I have these pool points to reduce my network costs, etc. Let me start with execution first, and I would say that is the most tactical use case. So when shipments are ready to be fulfilled and executed, right, optimization can be used to generate or build, as you say, fees that are optimized based on rates for carriers, private fleets, respecting constraints such as shipment windows, appointment times, weight restrictions. Finally, all with the objective of meeting delivery time. Right? All these apply to inbound and outbound transportation. And more importantly, a combination of both, which also opens up opportunities for backhauls, etc. An example, one of the largest online retailer uses MercuryGate to optimize their inbound transportation network from suppliers to DC and stores. In this particular example, for this customer, once we finished delivering on this project, the explosion of omnichannel growth in retail, right? So you have these options of buy online, pick up in store, deliver at home, but you return in store. This retailer handles a lot of returns in stores, both from online as well as their brick and mortar store purchases. And they expanded the use of MercuryGate to leverage backhauls, or if it doesn't apply, use parcel mode for returns handling, depending on the volumes. This, of course, is an example of a big retailer. However, this is an illustration of the case that even in small and mid-sized segments, it will be virtually impossible to optimize a combination of inbound, outbound, and returns by pure manual operations. As I said, any manual effort is guaranteed to be suboptimal. And a unique capability that MercuryGate had to offer in this case was its ability to handle parcels along with other modes natively within the application. And this proved critical to win the business. So let's take planning as an example. Optimization can be used to identify future capacity requirements, similar to when you run MRP in your unconstrained environment for material. Right? You can run what-if simulations to analyze demand. What happens if fuel cost changes? Can I change my mix of private fleet versus carriers? What type of combination can I do? Possible shifts in allocation between private fleet and common carriers, as I said. Global manufacturer of data center products, as an example, uses MercuryGate optimization to operate in a full distribution mode for replenishment, where they're looking at how they can leverage cross-docking for multi-stop routing, sequence delivery route, still focused on delivering to customer commitments, maximizing capacity utilization. In this case, this 3PL was an asset-based 3PL which had its own private fleet. And so maximizing capacity utilization and also helping determine if there are common carriers, are there cases where you can actually use common carriers instead of a private fleet demand supply. Another example is the case of 3PL. A 3PL can use optimization to evaluate impact of new customers with, let's say, you have new origins and destination added on to your routing models. So 3PLs can use optimization solution as a sales tool. You can prove to your customers how they can use different strategies to optimize their network. This could give them a competitive advantage that demonstrates to their customers how they can actually smartly save their costs. Right? An example was a national 3PL with more than 500 vehicles uses Mojo. Mojo is MercuryGate's optimization solution to do just that. In this particular example, they were called upon to handle some critical air freight shipments from the Middle East for a prospect, and they were trying to win this business. They were quickly able to simulate this new demand in the MercuryGate TMS platform and help determine the best route and delivery times and demonstrate to their customer and helping them win this business. So that is on the 3PL sales side. Let's take procurement, for example. On the procurement side, a shipper can, for instance, use optimization tools to simulate transportation spend using carrier codes and weight information to evaluate carrier bids. So you can simulate current shipment history and couple it with carrier bids to get a sense for what the costs look like. Typical contracts and bids are very complex. And as you iterate over these bids, right, simulation using a model will help arrive at true costs by lane. Right? Purely eyeballing of contracts and proposals to determine pricing is probably pretty complex. They have many parameters that you would have to consider. Right? Usually difficult to compare apples to apples with these competing bids. So loading this data into a model and helping analyze and compare competing bids help you choose the right carrier for different things. As I said, lastly but not the least, network design. Right? That is something which is very familiar to a lot of people. It doesn't occur as often because you just won't go and redesign your network all the time. But on an ongoing basis, you can model your entire supply chain network and do what-if simulations to arrive at optimal supply chain configuration. So it could be with respect to geographical locations, in deciding where you want to strategically locate your DCs. Do you want to leverage cross-docking facilities, pool points to consolidate loads? Do We want to leverage continuous moves, leveraging same carriers and stringing them together to reduce carrier deadheads. So as we work with our customers, we are increasingly finding new and innovative ways. So for us, it's actually a road and path to discovery. I think that's been really an interesting journey for us, finding new things.
No, a lot of great examples there. And I think what, you know, what I heard and kind of my takeaway is, you know, obviously you see the, you know, coming together of inbound and outbound, right? And looking at them in a more holistic manner, right? So that's one area that, again, if you're still, you know, relying on manual processes or spreadsheets, you know, when you add that, you know, just one layer of complexity, it just becomes much more difficult to handle. When you're talking about leveraging different modes, right, and different product flows, so the omni-channel example you gave with, you know, with returns and the use of parcel, right, I think that's another, you know, great example of how, again, the traditional approaches, you know, probably going to fall short in order to be able to, you know, really take a thorough and insightful look at, you know, that business problem. And, you know, one other area that I see a lot more interest, you know, moving forward is, you know, companies that have both private fleets and use, you know, common carriers. You know, how have optimization solutions kind of helped companies in those scenarios kind of manage their operations in kind of a smarter, you know, more integrated manner?
Yep, a great question. I briefly mentioned it, but yes, for asset-based companies, it is essential that your decision support software provides help in making you decide when you can use your common fleet, private fleet versus common carrier. Right? As you said, traditional software was typically designed for one or the other. So it was either focused on your fleet or it was about managing the least cost carriers by lanes. Of course, with private fleet, your objective is capacity utilization and minimizing total distance because you take into account fuel costs and some other standard costs as possible. Common carriers, it is about using the lowest rate by lane, taking into account other accessorial charges as well. So new solutions which take into consideration both private fleet and common carrier optimizes based on, again, your priority is meeting to your delivery commitments, right? But at the same time, minimizing cost, whether it is based on your asset utilization or because you actually have good deals from your common carrier at that particular time. I think using a combination of these, I think is really critical for asset-based companies. And if you look at the current trend where fuel prices are low, but driver shortages and regulations are actually driving up capacity shortages and trucking prices, leveraging technology to help you identify, and this thing changes over time, right, because of volatility. Leveraging technology to identify lane assignments and identifying whether you use your own fleet versus common carriers, I think is very valuable and can provide immediate benefits, not like a long-term benefit.
Great. You know, we're coming up short on time here. So, Vikram, so maybe as a way to wrap up, you know, what advice would you give to companies that are new to optimization or, you know, want to take kind of their existing use of optimization to kind of a higher level? You know, what action should they, you know, take today to get started?
Sure. So for most situations, I would suggest, and I'm a big fan of this, instead of having a big bang approach, companies can take small steps and then expand on them as they reap benefits. I talked about various use cases that optimization can be leveraged. My recommendation is to start with execution scenarios because that is a lot more tactical. People encounter that on a day-to-day basis. Experiment with optimization to build optimized loads out of your shipments that are ready to be fulfilled. It is even possible to use your existing TMS system and explore optimization as a separate capability. You still need to ensure you have the good quality data that you would need to feed into your optimizing tool. As I said earlier, you evaluate vendors who can handle all kinds of modes and who have the expertise in helping clients with the process itself, not just technology. Right? I think you brought up a great point earlier in terms of managed services. Right? taking guidance from these vendors or from consultants to what parameters to tune your optimization to. Because as important as I talked about earlier, as the data input, is fine-tuning the solver and the model parameters. That can make a big difference in the quality of the output. So solution providers also provide, as I said, managed optimization services until you can develop a competency by yourself. So you should leverage that as well. So as I said, so starting from tactical situations like building loads will allow you to see a very real-life experiment and compare against what you do typically manually. And then you can later expand to more strategic decision support. That would be my suggestion.
Great advice, Vikram. And you know, I always wrap up all my episodes the same way by saying that, you know, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but certainly provided some great advice, some great food for thought, you know, for companies that are, you know, haven't been fully leveraging or using optimization to date in terms of, you know, making the case as to why, you know, they should start looking at that to again, derive additional benefits and savings in their transportation operation. So, Vikram, again, thank you for making the time for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks. It was wonderful talking to you, Adrian. Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you who joined us today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this on demand and you have a question or a comment for Vikram, you can post a question or a comment there and over at talkinglogistics.com. And I'm sure Vikram will be more than happy to respond via that platform. So again, thank you very much for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.